How are you feeling?
I'm good. I feel great.
You're such a liar. Let me tell you, people, hello and welcome to another episode of Midwest Married. We are so excited to have you with us. And we were really pondering what topic we were going to do tonight all week. And we had a few different ideas, but this week has been so stressful. We have had 5 million things going on. And so I decided that while you were running around and doing all the things that need to get taken care of, and after I had run around and done all the things I had to take care of and put the kids to bed, that we were just going to seize this opportunity to talk about overwhelm and feeling overwhelmed.
Very overwhelmed.
I know we're not alone. I was going to say, I hope we're not alone in that. But I mean, I guess if everybody else was not feeling overwhelmed, that would be a good thing.
That would be.
But unrealistic.
Unrealistic.
So,
not real. Not happening.
We are going to use it today. So fill everybody in. What have we all been up to this past week? Why are you overwhelmed? Because I know you are.
All right. So for those that don't know, we both work 9-to-5s, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. So we're doing the 9-to-5 grind. We have 2 kids, 2 dogs. Mm-hmm. We're chasing them around. We have end of softball / t-ball for Eloise and Emmett right now. So that has been going on.
Sports.
And work has been extremely busy. Got a couple of deadlines.
Yep.
We are headed out tomorrow for the Boundary Water Canoe Area.
Which is an exciting thing.
Yep. Which is exciting.
It's
going to
be great. But it's more work and like getting ready for it and preparing.
Yeah. So tonight we had a shakedown of what everybody was bringing, figuring out what we could bring, not bring.
Consolidating everything.
Yeah. And I had packed an entire bag full of everything I thought I needed, which I did need.
Yeah.
But there was also another bag that I needed to fill. And with what I had packed and what we had to put in, it just wasn't working. So ended up taking everything out of my bag and having to repack and
just reconsolidate.
That started at about 6:30 and it is now 11:10 at night. Mm-hmm. And here we are recording.
And here we are. And also making sure that we get this done before we leave, right?
Yes. So this has to be done.
Yeah.
And
you forgot about another thing that you were doing after your 9-to-5 all week.
Oh, shoveling? Yeah. We're also building a house.
Oh, yeah. You know, that other little thing up on the side.
So we found out that we needed to bring in more dirt for our house, which means a lot of shoveling. So shoveled every day this week.
We had our inspection, though, this week for the plumbing that goes underneath the slab. And that passed.
Yeah.
So that was good.
We're good.
We have been talking with the bank, which is both good and bad. Hasn't quite gone exactly how we want things to go, but we'll figure it out.
It's going to work.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So we're leaving tomorrow at noon. So I have to go to work. You get to clean the house. It's a mess. Also need to come home, clean the car out.
Coordinate all the things for the kids because the kids have a softball party.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Multiple things, a parade.
We're overbooked.
5 million things going on. Overbooked. So we are talking about being overwhelmed today. I made a list.
And I'm sorry. I came home in not a great mood.
That's okay. I actually was in a great mood because I thought this was a perfect opportunity and I was very excited to talk about this topic.
Lovely.
Because other things that overwhelm me, first and foremost, the thing that came to mind was hosting parties. That is very overwhelming to me.
Which is where you were.
Well, I wasn't hosting, though. I was attending a birthday party. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had to, you know, also do the family function of going to a birthday party. Hosting birthday parties, hosting any kind of parties, hosting people, period. I get so anxious and nervous beforehand and at the beginning, like, is everyone having a good time? Does everybody have everything that they need? I don't know. Maybe they don't. Where's the chairs? Where's everything? It's so stressful. Please, if I ever invite you over to a party, please show up 10 to 15 minutes late because I promise you, I will still not have everything ready on time. It's very overwhelming. Being behind at work stresses me out. Kids, just kids in general, finances, mess, and being like, not being late. I'm okay with being late to things. I'm kind of notoriously like 5 to 10 minutes late to things. I'm sorry. I'm one of those people. But if I am running behind in clinic, I feel very terrible for my patients. And that really stresses me out if I am running behind.
Yeah.
So those are the common things for me, but I think that it's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I am going to dive into our first story.
Okay.
And, we'll see where that takes us.
All right, let's hear it.
Am I the asshole for expecting my husband to put his laptop down when caring for our child? I, 38 female, and my husband, 40 male, have a child under one. My partner has a day off every week to care for our child, Ted. I agreed to swap a day with him this week when I had Ted so he could go into work for a meeting. He forgot that he had swapped with me and got a bit agitated when he started talking about a meeting the next day, and I replied, asking why he was working as it was his day of childcare. I asked him what he was going to do, and he said, "Leave it with me. A call was mentioned which he had to be on for an hour. I agreed to have Ted, but that my call started straight afterwards and would need him to take him back." The morning started and husband got Ted out of his crib and took him for breakfast while I was working upstairs. I came down and saw he was feeding Ted his breakfast while on his laptop. He said he needed to prepare for his meeting. I said, "You're not going to be working much longer though, are you?" He told me I was overwhelming him and to leave him be. I took Ted while he had his meeting, and of course his meeting overran, making me late for mine by 5 minutes, which he didn't see that that was a big deal, especially when I was flapping my arms to hurry him along. My husband was still on his laptop for an hour later, and Ted was on the floor playing with toys, but largely not being interacted with. I asked when he was stopping working, and he ignored me, and I looked at Ted, who had a dog chew in his mouth. I was really annoyed and raised my voice to say that this was unacceptable and he couldn't look after a child and work. I again asked when he'd be finished working, and he told me he wouldn't talk to me while I was raising my voice and to go out and come back in a minute, and he would tell me what he was doing. I went out and came back, and he said that it wasn't a minute, put his laptop down, and then went upstairs. He came back down dressed to go out with his bag, and I asked what he was doing. He ignored me. It looked like he was leaving the house, and I was still holding Ted in a panic. I called my mom to ask her to take Ted in the afternoon and explained what had happened. My husband got really angry at me and said I'd crossed a line. Husband is saying it's my fault he had a dog chew in his mouth because I distracted him and he was ignoring me because I was being hysterical. He thinks it's fine to work while looking after Ted and will do it again if he has to. Husband is convinced I have postpartum depression and I'm currently awaiting a referral. He puts most of our arguments down to this, so I just want to sense check, am I overreacting, and is it okay to work for an hour or two on a laptop while caring for a child under one, crawling but not walking? Am I the asshole?
Yes, I actually do think you're the asshole. Yep, I'm going to take that stance. I can see both sides of this, but I'm going to say you're overreacting. It sounds to me like this doesn't happen all of the time, but it also, at the same rate, the husband has a job that has expectations, and I'm not sure what type of job the husband is in. I would say that if it was similar to my job, which is sales, it never ends. When you're in sales, you typically are always on. Right or wrong, good or bad, I'm always on. If I get a phone call at 6 o'clock at night and I see that it's a customer, I'm going to answer it because I'm delivering the best customer service I can possibly do in order to make a sale, a future sale, and maintain that relationship. So if that husband is working on a deadline or a proposal that needs to get done, taking a whole day off at that time when you end up having a deadline, maybe unexpectedly, you have to work. But I also see her point of being able to, okay, you can work, but you also need to make sure that the house is picked up beforehand before you let our kid crawl around on the ground and get dog toys in his mouth. So on that aspect, I would say, no, you're not the asshole. So it's an interesting situation they got going on there. I think she's overreacting, though. I would say if you have to open up your laptop for an hour or two and, hey, hang out with the kid, it's fine. Like, do your work. Just make sure that our kid lives.
Yes.
All right? Keep the small human alive. That's it.
Yes. Especially as long as it's not something that is you're having to do regularly. It seems like this is kind of a one-off, right? Like they usually have their one day off where like, okay, you watch the kid one day, I watch the kid another day. Those are like maybe they work 4/10s or something like that, where that's just like how they have their child care figured out. Mm-hmm. And their days got swapped and, you know, things happen and, oh, I still had a meeting on that day. I still have to keep it because it's a big client. It ends up being 2 hours instead of an hour. Yeah. Is their communication great about it? It seems like that's kind of lacking as far as their expectations of it.
Right. And I feel like she should have left Ted mm-hmm. with the husband to start her meeting on time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of on her as well. But maybe he should have been like, give me Ted. I'll take him. And then continue his meeting.
Yeah.
You know, hold the baby, do the deal, whatever that may be. I know that there have been times where we have kids that are unexpectedly sick, can't go to mm-hmm. school, and there have been things at work that have forced me to grab the kids. I bring a cot, I bring their sleeping bag, pillow, and we go into my office. I set them up right behind my cubicle on a cot. Put a bowl next to him.
Oh my gosh. No.
Give him. Yes.
Oh, a bowl like not. Okay. I was imagining like
a bowl,
treating him like a dog.
like
in case they throw up.
Kids want like a bowl to throw up in. No, I'm not treating them like a dog.
It just sounded funny.
Jeez. So, yeah, you do what you have to do in order to.
But they're older. They're not 1 years. Yeah.
Right.
They're not younger.
I'm just saying.
One.
You do what you have to do in order to survive and continue mm-hmm. to financially support your household.
Right.
So.
All right. This post was only 13 hours old. So we have comments.
Do you think she has postpartum depression, though? We didn't even touch on that. Didn't sound like.
She. No, I mean, I don't think that we have enough information to really judge or to tell.
Okay.
Right?
Right. All right. So, go on.
Okay. So top comment, you have a baby under one, so I'm giving you both a pass for probably still being sleep deprived. True. To give you some perspective, though, lots of parents, myself, my coworkers, enjoy the privilege of working from home at times with our babies and toddlers. There's an element of multitasking, being on the computer and keeping an eye on the little. It is what it is. That had 889 upvotes in the last 13 hours. And so
I
think
completely.
There's a lot of people that resonates with that are trying to do the same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Caring for your child and working from home are two distinct activities. We, of course, care for our children while we juggle work in emergencies, like if the kids are sick, etc. But you can't seriously think you can work a full-time job and be an effective caregiver to a toddler at the same time, 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year.
But that wasn't the problem.
Right. It was like, just kind of here and
it
there.
It wasn't 40 hours a week. It was one day.
Your husband should have remembered he was primary caregiver that day. Yes. He should have made sure he was done with his meeting so you could join yours on time. Yes. You should have backed off when it was his time with Ted. So it's so hard not to involve yourself in childcare when you're working in from home. But for your sanity, you absolutely have to stay separate. Your kid doesn't need constant interaction. If he's happy by himself, leave him alone. Let your husband work and provide childcare. There will be moments it's possible and lots of moments it's not, but let him figure it out.
Boom.
Yeah, that's a lot of what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of, it's a little bit of both. That overwhelm is definitely felt with parenting, working, doing all of the things, definitely can be tricky.
And for OP, in case they don't know, that only gets worse through like the early years as they get older. They get busier and you do have to really pay attention to what those kids are doing around the house, and it becomes a lot harder.
To watch your kids and work at the same time.
Right. So when you're juggling work and watching kids, and then the overwhelm increases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So what is the definition of overwhelm, you might ask? Because I have that for you. Are you ready?
Mm-mm, no. Let me guess.
Okay. Tell me. What is it?
The feeling of...
Yeah. What are you feeling? What? Yeah. Describe it.
It's stressful.
Okay.
Thinking about all of the things piling up that I have to do. Mm-hmm. It's not even so much all the things that I have to do, because those would be fine. Mm-hmm. It's just now under a tight timeline, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make the deadline tomorrow. We're probably not leaving by 1 o'clock like we said we were. I'm a little worried about that. And that gives me anxiety about
what's going to happen in the future. Okay.
It's tough. Go ahead. Hit me.
The definition of overwhelm is feeling completely overcome in mind or emotion, unable to cope with demands and stressors. So, the difference between a stress and an overwhelm, you might ask. A stress is a normal response to challenging situations that can be managed, whereas overwhelm is an excessive amount of stress that feels unmanageable.
I would say that it feels unmanageable. Yeah. But
how are we going to accomplish every single thing before one?
I am going to cope. Like, it's not uncopeable.
I mean, coping can be in different ways, right?
It might be a meltdown. Might be an emotional outburst here and there, but we're going to get through it.
Common things that can cause feeling overwhelmed, aside from hosting birthday parties, mm-hmm. high workloads and busy schedules, financial pressures. Oh, we're feeling that. Family responsibilities and parenting, relationship issues. Hey, there's one that we're good on. Right?
We're good.
Okay, just
we're
checking.
Good right now. No
just
issues.
Checking. Social media and information overload. According to the American Psychological Association, 77% of people regularly experience physical symptoms caused by stress, and 33% feel they are living with extreme stress. Those are high numbers.
Yikes.
I know. Are you having any physical symptoms of your overwhelm?
I can't breathe. Tightness in my chest.
No, for real?
No. No, I'm good.
Okay, good. A survey by the Mental Health Foundation found that 74% of UK adults felt so stressed at some point in the past year they felt overwhelmed or unable to cope. So, some pitfalls. When you're unable to cope, then what are some unhealthy things that people do? I will tell you the first thing that I do, like I am an escaper. That's what you do? Sour Patch Kids. Reach for the Sour Patch Kids. Number one is procrastination. I kind of do that when I feel overwhelmed. More so years ago, but mm-hmm. Yeah. When people feel overwhelmed, they often delay tasks and lead up to a buildup of responsibilities that can even exacerbate that feeling of overwhelmed, because it just makes it worse if you push it off.
I will say, I procrastinated on my deadlines for work mm-hmm. that are due tomorrow. Mm-hmm. and I do feel the overwhelm, but that overwhelm is going to be what kicks my butt tomorrow and I put myself into gear, into overdrive.
You just wait.
Crush it.
Oh, all right. So that would be a positive flip on feeling overwhelmed. I've got that covered too, Matt. Don't you? You just wait.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get to that later. This is the number one thing I do, avoidance. Individuals might avoid tasks or situations that cause the stress, leading to that cycle of avoidance and increased anxiety. So I will, although sometimes it can be positive, like last night, I'm like, the house is a mess. We have so much to do. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to go to bed early tonight. I'm going to go to bed at 8:30 immediately after the kids go to bed because I have been working all day and I feel soul crushing overwhelmed that I am just like stagnant. Like I just can't. I can't make one more decision. I can't put one more thing away. Because I'm going to look around and just be reminded that everything is not as it should be. So I wasn't on the strict schedule yet, right, for our deadline for leaving. So I did wake up early then, felt a lot more fresh, did the cleaning then, felt less overwhelmed in the morning. Because for me, I feel like anytime I get a good night's sleep, I feel 10 times better. Like it's just the end of the day. That is the worst time for me. I'm so tired. But I feel like it's also a little bit of avoiding. Sometimes also, if there's so much to do, I will avoid it by reading books. That is a true statement.
Somebody out there has to know like what the limit is on books and time. Like how much is too much?
I will spend all day reading a book.
Six books in a month and a half is too much.
No, pish posh.
It's too much.
Pish posh. Irritability and short temper. Overwhelm can lead to that irritability and just negatively then affect your interpersonal relationships. That was you earlier today.
Maybe.
Burnout. It can lead to feeling very burned out, especially if that overwhelm is prolonged and for long periods of time, like at work. Healthcare burnout is a huge thing that people are trying to address. And then negative coping mechanisms like excessive drinking or overeating or substance use. And then, so that may be some things that people do in order to cope or avoid or not cope, I guess, with the actual feeling of overwhelm.
Sure.
So, all right. So we are not the only people who feel overwhelmed from time to time. Here is just a general Reddit. And it just says, how do you handle overwhelm? Okay. So, sorry I couldn't create a better title. See overwhelm above. I'm so sick of my stupid brain avoiding boring tasks and then letting them overwhelm me. In a funk from all the annoying zaps I've had as I walk around my house and think, crap, that laundry needs to be folded. Damn, the dishwasher is still full. Why didn't the dish fairies just empty it last night? The garage needs to be cleaned out, blah, 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 blah. How do you not get depressed with your overwhelm and where do you even begin? Any tips, tricks, commiseration, greatly appreciated. Do you have any tips or tricks? What do you do?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you don't want to let it pile up. It sounds like this person is letting everything just build and build and build, and they're not handling that task right away. There's a rule of thumb that anything that can be done in 2 to 5 minutes, you should do it right away. You should never put it on a list. You should just tackle it right off the bat, like the dishes, 5 minutes. The laundry, 3 minutes. You're done. 8 minutes. And you never have to think about it again. So that's the biggest thing. Just
Kind of breaking tasks. Instead of cleaning the whole house, breaking up the tasks, but like, okay, there's dishes, there's laundry, there's the kitchen, there's...
Well, right. And then if you stay on top of it, pieces. It doesn't build up. And then it doesn't feel as overwhelming. So right now we have, I see laundry that needs to be folded. I see dishes in the sink. I see stuff everywhere.
I mean, our house is a mess. It's a disaster. But that is something I'm putting off until tomorrow because...
Right. So it feels overwhelming when yes. you look at all the things we need to do. But if it was only the dishes, you'd be like, yeah, I'll do that before I go to bed and I won't have to worry about it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It'd be golden. Mm-hmm.
There is a trick I actually... I mentor new NPs and PAs that come on board to work.
Sure.
And we have something called the in-basket, which is kind of like our admin stuff that we have to take care of, patient messages, prescription refills, that kind of thing. And one of the hardest things that especially new grads struggle with when they come on board is looking at things, like it's basically a whole checklist of things that you need to do and you need to make decisions on. Mm-hmm. And they'll look at something and they'll think about it and then they'll move on to the next and they'll think about it and they'll move on to the next. And so they won't handle any of it. So then they always have to go back and eventually make a decision. So one of the most common pieces of advice I give to avoid that burnout and that overwhelm feeling of the in-basket is only open it once. If you're going to take the time to look at your in-basket, you open it up once and you make that decision. And if you don't know what to do, you decide how you're going to figure out what to do, whether mm-hmm. that's going to be sending it to a colleague to get their input, whether it's going to be taking the time to look it up so that you're not redoing that work and redoing that effort. So yeah. That's kind of similar in a way.
And I think if for anybody that's in the sales or account management world, I think you can oftentimes put off hard conversations with customers that you know you have to have. Like you have a mechanic that made a mistake and you have to make a phone call and explain that. Oh, I'll just put it off until tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Then it's 10 times worse.
And then it's worse. Or, hey, why did my bill increase on our annual renewal? Oh, I don't want to call and tell them today, like it's the end of the day. I don't want to ruin their Monday or their Friday. So then you just put things off. And that also opens up the door for you to forget where you should have just handled it immediately. But then you let these things pile up and it just builds and you build it up in your head and it's...
Just tackle it. Just do it.
Useless stress. Tackle it. Get
it
done with.
Nike's slogan.
And move on.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. The comments don't really have, I haven't seen that much actual advice as far as the solutions go, but a lot of commiseration, camaraderie, saying you're not alone. Top comment, I can't help you, but I'm right there with you. I live alone, thankfully. And my house is a disaster.
Hire somebody.
I know. Another comment. I'm really overwhelmed right now. I'm avoiding it in Reddit. I have a work trip tonight and my suitcase is not ready. I have a million things to do. Here's one that I did think was good that I saw. A therapist once told me, those are smart people, to embrace the chaos. I was describing to her that I was moving and was feeling extremely overwhelmed, trying to prioritize what items should go in which boxes when. It ended up with me stuck in paralysis. Her telling me that things don't need to be prioritized really helped me. I just set boxes out and did stuff as I thought of it. It was one of the fastest I've ever packed to move in my life. I also totally understand that this might not work for everyone, but when I found that I let my brain do what it wanted, which was to go wild, I didn't get stuck not doing things. Granted, it wasn't organized, and when I unpacked, there were definitely things in strange places, but at least they made it to my new house. And sometimes that's more about like, okay, it doesn't have to be perfect when you do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need to like make that step and take that action. I do have some non-Reddit real practical tips and strategies for managing feeling like the world is crashing down on you. Number one, prioritize and delegate tasks. So focus on what's most important and share responsibilities. Okay. Mm-hmm. Practice mindfulness and relaxation techniques, meditation, deep breathing, yoga, mountain breathing. Mm-hmm. Set boundaries. Learn to say no and limit commitments. I have a hard time with that.
Yeah.
Because I want to do all the things.
We're a little overstretched right now.
Yeah. Seek support. Talk to friends, family. Ouch, your ring hurts. A therapist. And then break tasks into smaller steps. Tackle one thing at a time. All right.
Yeah, I agree.
Moving on.
Sit down and do a podcast. Feels good.
It does feel nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We actually like talk through it. I don't know. See, it was a good topic for us today.
It was good.
All right. Well, it's not over yet. Am I the asshole for crying and being stressed after my partner came home from surgery? I, 26 female, have been dating my partner Ben, 27 male, for almost 3 years. Just a warning, I'm typing this on my phone and English is not my first language. A couple of days ago, Ben had to have surgery. I won't go into details about what kind of surgery specifically, but while he's at home healing, he takes heavy painkillers, has to move as little as possible for at least 2 weeks, can't lift anything, can't bend over. He practically can't do anything, and so he relies a lot on my help. A little about me. I'm a crier. When I'm happy, I cry. When I'm angry, I cry. Basically, whenever I get an overload of any kind of emotion, I cry. Always has been like this. It's just who I am. So the same day Ben had the surgery, he was able to go home. My mom helped us with the ride home and settling Ben in at home. She has some medical knowledge, so it helped me and Ben a little. My mom and I discussed what I should be doing in certain situations. With everything that I had to do for him, it just felt like he got out of the hospital way too soon. I just practically had to be an in-home nurse for him. Ben's painkillers were very heavy, oxycodone. But even while on that, he was still in constant pain. It really hurt seeing him like that. So yeah, because of everything, I got overwhelmed, felt like I was doing a shit job and that I couldn't help my partner as best as possible. I didn't study for this, so how am I supposed to know how to care for a 10-centimeter stitched up wound? So I started crying because I panicked and I felt overwhelmed. My mom helped me calm down while Ben heard me crying from the other room. That same night after my mom went home, I helped Ben to bed. During this process, he was in a lot of pain. I was very tired and stressed out, so the tears came a bit again. Still, I was very focused and I wouldn't let the tears get in the way of me helping Ben. Ben noticed that I cried and said that I couldn't. He said that I shouldn't let myself get overwhelmed right now because I have to give him my full attention and can't get carried away. It was selfish of me to cry. I explained to him that it just pains me to see him like this and that it's a lot to learn for me, but that I will still give him the best help that I can give him. The days after that, Ben had constantly made remarks on me crying, that he feels like he has to do a lot himself because I can't handle it. He feels like he can't ask me to do something for him, or else you'll cry again. I apologize that I made him feel that way, assured him that I can handle it, and that I'm there for him, but he still gives nasty comments like saying I'm selfish for letting my emotions get the best of me. Because of all his comments, I'm starting to doubt if I indeed maybe should have stayed quiet or not let Ben see or hear that I was crying.
Bah.
So Reddit, am I the asshole?
No. Come on. But anybody else out there get uncomfortable around tears?
Yeah, I do think you do. Your mom is a real crier. She's the same. She cries when she's happy, when she's sad, when she's
all the time.
All of the above.
Over everything.
And it makes you visibly uncomfortable.
Does make me uncomfortable.
Emotions.
Stop it.
It's okay for people to have emotions.
Is it though?
People can feel their feelings.
That's true.
And that's okay.
I agree. So no, she's not the asshole. She should be able to feel how she feels. And if she has to cry and that's how she deals with emotion,
mm-hmm.
Great. If she can tone it back around her boyfriend, I'm not sure. I just think for him to then call her selfish and kind of belittle her because of mm-hmm. that, I think that's ridiculous.
Let's hope it's the oxycodone talking.
So I have questions.
Okay.
Oxycodone.
Yeah.
Is that a strong drug?
Yes. It's an opioid.
Is that Lortab?
No, that's hydrocodone.
Ah,
so it's actually a little bit more addictive properties, and well, hydrocodone, all opioids have that potential.
Okay.
But it can impair your judgment and can impair your thinking, can kind of give you that high.
So
it could make him
a different person.
Yeah. It's
make
possible.
Him a dick.
It could. Yeah.
Okay. And a 10 centimeter wound?
10 centimeters?
Oh. Really?
Yeah, that's 10 centimeters. I'll go get a tape measure.
It's 4 inches only.
Okay, I'm going to hold up what I think is 10 centimeters.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, about that.
Let's measure.
Da, 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 da. What is it?
Amy had 5 inches and 10 centimeters is...
So I was at 12 centimeters.
4 points. Yeah. 3.98 inches.
I guessed 12 centimeters. I was 2 centimeters off.
Correct. You were more than that, but
no, I was not. That
not
was close.
Important. All right. So it is. All right. It's not that big, but I'm just.
That's what she said.
Jeez.
Sorry.
All right.
You left it.
I want to know what he went in for and why he's incapacitated for 2 weeks.
Here's my guess is back surgery.
Okay.
That's a rough one.
Yeah, sure. But no,
who knows?
Not the asshole, but...
Okay. Top comment, not the asshole. I understand both OP's and her boyfriend's standpoint. No one is the asshole. OP, you do have to understand stress is a part of life. What do you do when you have to go through a difficult time in the future? There will be times crying won't help. In fact, crying may even make it worse. I think you can see a therapist to learn some more coping techniques. We have to depend on others sometimes. I'm not saying you are undependable. I'm saying crying will make others lose faith in you, and it is hard to depend on someone who doesn't seem dependable.
Different way of looking at it. I mm-hmm. would imagine I wouldn't want to let other people see me cry.
Hmm.
Yeah.
People, there were 54 replies to that comment.
I bet it's a hot button.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking to OP as if she was choosing to cry. Crying under stress is not something you can always control. She is, however, still helping her boyfriend to the best of her ability. If her skills are not enough because she is not a trained professional, they should get a nurse, not blame OP and be nasty to her for being overwhelmed in an overwhelming situation. I don't think it's fair to excuse her for crying due to stress and not give OP's boyfriend the same allowances for being in pain. She's stressed, so she cried. He's in constant pain, so he's irritable and snappy. Pain without relief is overwhelming. This sounds like one of those moments as a couple that if they can work through it, they'll come out stronger on the other side. Other reactions that are very common to feeling overwhelmed are anxiety and panic attacks. Decreased productivity, where you're just not able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Withdrawal and isolation. And then physical symptoms that can accompany it can be headaches, muscle tension, fatigue, GI or gastrointestinal issues. And then emotional outbursts. They may experience sudden and intense emotional outbursts, like crying or anger. As a reaction to overwhelm. So maybe they're both overwhelmed by this surgery. Yeah. But how can it be a positive thing? You were mentioning that that this feeling of overwhelm later on was going to kick you into high gear to really make you deliver for work. That is the hope anyway, right?
Diamonds are built under pressure.
Ah, there we go. All right. So the positive things that being overwhelmed can do, it can promote growth and resilience. So feeling that feeling of being overwhelmed can push individuals out of their comfort zones and make them really grow personally, professionally, and then realize, hey, I do have resilience. I did come out the other side. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that feelings like feeling overwhelmed, it's not necessarily a negative thing, that it's, you know, it's morally neutral. It's just a feeling.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It can enhance problem-solving skills. When people need to prioritize their tasks, they might manage their time more efficiently. And so they might not dawdle or get distracted or scroll Reddit or whatever social media.
There will be no dawdling tomorrow.
You will be on it and find creative solutions to problems. That I think that is true too.
Yeah.
When the pressure is on, you tend to get creative. Yes. Can boost productivity when people are feeling overwhelmed, if they have that sense of urgency.
Same thing though, right?
I think that though is like during the short term. If you're like chronically overwhelmed, I don't think that it would lead to feeling a boost of productivity. I think only like short periods of overwhelming times. Don't you think? Nobody can sustain that boost of productivity time and time and time and time. I don't think it's possible.
I haven't cracked yet.
Well, let's hope you don't.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't have a good answer for that.
Another positive thing is it can encourage people to seek support and build connections. And then can also help people actually identify priorities. It forces you to like think about what actually is important in the whole scheme of things.
How you can address those items prior to your next event.
Right.
So you don't become overwhelmed. Right?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not to make you feel more overwhelmed, but here's somebody else who's got more
than
they can handle on their plate.
Or is it a Reddit story?
No, here's another Reddit story.
All right.
Are you okay with that?
Yep.
Cool.
Let's do it.
All right. Am I the asshole for suggesting my wife lower her standards so that she'll be less overwhelmed? My wife, 37 female, and I, 38 male, have 3 kids, ages 12, 10, and 8. She is in a constant state of overwhelm and very easily irritated, constantly complaining how it's all too much. I'm, of course, happy to help and do my fair share for the kids or household, but it's never enough because her standards are too damn high. She insists one of us has to be up at 6:45 every morning to make sure the kids are ready and make the bus, which comes at 7:45. I told her they're old enough to not need that much help already. They can all dress themselves and pour themselves cereal and milk. There's no reason we have to be up. She says that cereal isn't a good enough breakfast, and they need something more substantial, especially the 12-year-old, and that the 10-year-old has ADHD and will definitely struggle without help in the morning. And anyway, she wants to see them off and kiss them goodbye for the day. So she gets up. I don't. Then she gets upset that I never give her a morning off when all she needs to do is just take the morning off when she wants and let the kids handle themselves. Also, she is super strict about screen time during the week and is exhausted and snappy from arguing about it with the kids and upset I don't support her strict limit of 2 hours a day. I say, as long as homework is done, why not until bed? She says it's not healthy for them. They need to play outside or with games and toys, read some books, and just entertain themselves in more ways than one. I agree they should enjoy other things, but not seeing why we have to make such a rigid limit. She also likes to get out on weekends and do stuff like zoos, museums, etc., but then complains about the planning of the outing and how grouchy the youngest gets by the end of it. And again, I say, let's just chill at home, and voila, you've cut the work. I'm an engaged and active parent. I'm not trying to get out of it. But I don't think I should have to help my wife dig her dig herself out of her own self-created holes. She creates the stress for herself and then turns to me to alleviate it, which I think is unfair. Am I the asshole for telling her she needs to do less and then she won't need this level of help?
So I would say there's a happy medium with everything. And maybe she needs to find the happy medium, but does your wife have too high of standards? Or are you just a fucking bum?
Good question.
That would be the question, right? It sounds to me like this guy is lazy overall. Okay, I'm not a morning person, but I would agree with the wife. I think that the kids should have something substantial to eat, something healthy. Cereal isn't the greatest food for kids to eat, right?
Right.
So it's okay if that happens every once in a while, but I would say overall, you should be providing your kids with healthy foods and healthy options in the morning. Or for all meals, right? And then have the decency to be like, okay, my wife has this expectation. I'm going to work with her and I'll get up on Thursday morning. I'll wake up early. I'll hang out with the kids. That's great. Because I just think it's ridiculous. He wants to sleep in.
6:45 is not even that early.
Right.
Right.
I would say for most parents, that is not early.
Right. They're doing pretty good if they can sleep until 6:45 on a school day.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. And he can't do it even like once a week.
Right.
Yeah.
The video games or the screen time, as long as they're done with homework, we'll just let them do it until bedtime. Well, what if they got done with their homework at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock?
And then so 4 until 8, that's 4 hours.
4 hours every day for let's hypothetically say that they got their homework done for a week. You're going to let them just watch 20 hours of TV during the week?
Seems a lot.
It seems like a lot. They should be outside.
I get triggered every time there's a spouse or partner that is like, my wife wants me to help her care for our children. Like, because then that like automatically is assigning the responsibility to the partner. And instead of taking equal ownership in that task. So I think they can just get ready in the morning. Like, and also one of the kids has ADHD. You know how hard it is to like get someone out the door within an hour to get to school. My littlest brother had ADHD, and that was
difficult.
That was a really tough thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time management is generally not the strong suit.
Sure. Understood.
So especially at 10 years old, when you're still learning all of your coping skills for that.
I think they need to sit down, communicate, come to the happy medium of what is acceptable.
So you think he's a lazy asshole, though?
I would say overall, he's the asshole.
Well, the masses agree with you. The overall vote, you're the asshole. Top comment. Your wife's standards are just being a decent parent. And you're not...
Weird.
I know. Terrible. She wants to go to zoos and museums on the weekend? Like, come on.
I would love to sleep in until 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Just doesn't happen very often.
No. Okay. Your wife's standards are just being a decent parent, and you are not doing your fair share if you aren't helping with these things you consider unnecessary. An 8-year-old and a 10-year-old with ADHD are not ready to totally get themselves ready in the morning. And you'd know that if you didn't sleep through the morning routine every day. 2 hours of screen time a day is a totally reasonable boundary, and family time and enriching activities are also important. Maybe those can be cut down slightly, but just chill at home all the time isn't the answer either. Stop being lazy and become an actually engaged parent like your wife is.
Right. And I was going to say, there are days where we hang out at the house and relax, and it's a lazy day or it's a movie day. Not very often, but it happens.
I also think sometimes those days are harder, actually, when you don't have an activity built into your day.
Right.
When you're not getting out of the house, like our kids go a little stir crazy.
And I was just going to say, young kids do get cranky.
Yeah.
From time to time. Feed them.
Yeah.
Give them a nap.
Yes.
Whatever it takes.
Yes. Reacting to him saying, I'm an engaged and active parent. You don't sound like it. There are things a parent has to do for their children in the mornings. Your youngest is 8. Cereal is nothing but sugar. Yes. A lot of moms don't want their kids to eat that every day. 2 hours of screen time is generous, not strict. You sound rather checked out. You're the asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Done parenting.
Mm-hmm. Another comment. This is how this reads. My wife is a hands-on, active parent who wants our children to have well-balanced meals, minimal screen time, and fun and stimulating outings. That's too much work for me. I'd prefer my kids eat whatever they can find in the kitchen without bothering me, that we stay home and do nothing, and the kids play on their devices and watch TV in their spare time.
Yeah, exactly.
That summed it up.
They all got it. They all got it.
They go on to say, no wonder she's stressed. She sounds like a great parent, and you come off sounding lazy and disinterested in your parenting your own kids. You're the asshole.
Hmm.
Everybody said, you're the asshole, dude.
Yep. I agree.
Yep.
I was going to say, one of the things that has been overwhelming me recently is we are building our house, which I go to work, I get done with work, I usually go to the dream home or the dome home to dream home location and start working. And then I'll come home, I'll put the kids to bed, usually edit or podcast, something along those lines. Well, this week, and even part of last week with it being so busy, I've gone to work, I've stepped over to the dome home, dream home location, and your dad, who is helping us build the house, has been there. He's working, he's doing a lot of things, and I'll work for maybe only an hour, and I'll say, hey, just so you know, I have to get going, I have to go work. And it's the question that I hate, or that overwhelms me, and I can just feel like, oh, is that 9-to-5 work or podcast work?
Hmm.
I'm like, tonight, both.
Yeah.
Where you have to almost feel, you have to justify going to do podcast work versus like your 9-to-5 work, because this right now is still in its infancy and growing and we're seeing what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to tell other people, oh yeah, I'm going to podcast and talk about overwhelm. So that's overwhelming me right now.
having to justify yourself or your decisions to anybody, period, if they disagree. That's a people pleaser in you.
Shit, I was done people pleasing.
He can have whatever feelings he wants about it, and you can still make your choice and feel good about it.
I did swear off people pleasing. Got me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Done with that.
You can do it.
All right.
You can do it.
So
okay.
I'm back to feeling overwhelmed. We got to clean the house.
I know. We have so much to do. We will get it done. All right. Whatever doesn't get done, doesn't get done. And it'll be fine.
Perfect.
But here's the last little things then to avoid being overwhelmed, because we didn't really talk about that. We talked about like what to do once you feel overwhelmed, but how do we like just prevent it in the first place?
I think we talked about it, but give me the points.
Okay, the points are to establish a daily routine, because consistency helps you manage your expectations and your workload.
Perfect.
Maintain a healthy work-life balance.
Nope.
Failed. We are failing on that one. But it's also a really good thing to focus on and to do if you're able to do it. And yeah. Practice self-care. Regular exercise, eating healthy, getting enough sleep. Sleep is important for me. And then limit screen time and social media because you're reducing that information overload, sensory.
Who's got time for
sensory
that?
Sensory overload. And stay organized using planners and reminder systems.
Real bad at that. I'm a F. Fail. I fly by the seat of my pants. A lot.
Well, you're going to have to... How do you do that? I cannot do that. I need to have things written down.
No, they're written down on post-it notes that are stuck over here and over here.
That would overwhelm me. Right how there. Do you do that? Does that not overwhelm you to have that system that is not a system?
Well, then once I see too many post-it notes, then I'm like, it's post-it note time. And all right, gotta call this person, get this
and
part.
And then you just do the post-it notes.
And I just do the post-it notes. If I haven't, you know, marked it as urgent, if it's marked urgent on it, then I, right then. Then I don't need a post-it note because I'm
there
doing
it. There has to be a better way. What is the better way? What's your guys' favorite organization system? I don't know.
Notebooks get lost, paper gets...
There has to be some cool digital thing out there that you can do.
Yeah, I haven't found it yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you feel a little less overwhelmed talking through it, going through it?
It was good.
Yeah. And the best part is that the boundary waters are going to be so amazing. It's going to be so beautiful. The weather's going to be so great. So we're going to get a little break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So for anybody that doesn't know, mm-hmm. the boundary water canoe area is approximately 1,100,000 acres. Did I read that right? 1,098,000 acres.
Woofty.
Which?
Tons of lakes and wild life.
1,100 lakes and 1,500 miles of canoe routes.
Yes.
And where we are
all
going,
undisturbed.
There will be zero cell phone service. So completely disconnecting from the electronic world.
Yes.
No internet.
No electricity.
No Netflix.
Like we probably will we even see other people out there because they limit how many people can visit for different times.
We're going to a lake that has quite a few campsites. Okay. So I would say
we're doing an easier portage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I'm a newbie.
We have a 1 mile portage.
Okay. Yeah.
And about 150-ish pounds between the two of us to carry and a canoe. So
we're going to do it. We're going to do it.
We got it.
Yeah. I'm strong. I can do it.
We're good.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So, near Canada. That's where it is.
There we go. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this episode. We appreciate you. Please like, follow, subscribe, and catch us next week.
Yes. We hope this didn't make you leaving feeling overwhelmed. Hopefully it was lifting the weight off of your shoulders. You're not alone. We'll all get through it eventually at some point together.
There we go.
All right.
Have a good night.
Bye.